Amen. Thank you, Lord, for a wonderful time tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the love you place in our heart for everybody. Thank you, Father, for all the work that you're doing in us too. We thank you, Father, that the time is getting very near to when all of this thing's going to break loose, and we praise you for that, Father. We thank you, Lord, for the time that the revival starts. That's what we're all looking for, to be ready for that and to be able to help bring in this new kingdom into the kingdom of God. We praise you for it, Father. Thank you for all the wonderful people that are going to come in. All of our families going to come in. And we praise you for that, Father. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're going to do tonight in each and every one of us, Father. Give us the words to say. And we thank you for that, Father. Lord, be with us, prompt us, lead us, guide us, teach us all the things that you'd have us to know, Lord. In Jesus' name, thank you for your divine health in each and every one of us, too. That we walk in it, we talk in it, we act like it, too, Lord. We confess it everywhere we go. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for all that you do. Glory be to God. Okay, has anybody got a prayer request? Yeah, Ben.
Hi everyone. So the other day, Karen gave me a call. I think I've mentioned her friend before. Her name's Bianca. Her boyfriend's not treating her too good, and they didn't get into details, but it got pretty physical. So Bianca's not with that guy anymore. And, Karen was trying to be as respectful as she could because she kind of warned him about that guy and kept telling her about him and just like, I don't trust this guy and all that. And she Karen tried to confide in me just to try and ask me for advice to like tell her. And well, I did my best. I told her that she knows what she did is wrong, and but Bianca knows that, and she's confessed that she hasn't been doing that great with her relationship with the Lord, and that she says that she's confessed it, and I want to get some more prayer on this with you guys as well. Both protection, both for Bianca and Karen. Over this situation, Lord Father God, I just pray that you watch over Karen and Bianca, that both their minds are clear and at peace, and that they fall into true repentance, Father, that the Holy Spirit falls upon her, and that she comes to you, God, full, and that she's not worried about being alone. But that she has you, Father, and that you can guide her and what you want for her, and that you know what she wants and you know what she needs, Father. And if she needs a good, godly man in her life, Father, just put one in her way so that she can see him. But Lord, Father God, we just pray that you give her true repentance and a true way to see discipleship. With your son, Jesus Christ, we thank you, Father, for this. Amen.
Amen. Lord, make it so that she loves you more than she does anything else. In Jesus'
Amen.
name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Yeah, Julie.
Have a question. Ben, is this guy posing a threat to Bianca in any way? Like bugging her or harassing her or stalking her?
I think he's messaging her and all that. I told Karen to tell her to block him. Obviously, and I think she's ignoring him for the most part. She's got stuff at his apartment. Like she's like contemplating not even going to go get it. And I'm like, well, that's up to you. I would go get my stuff, but she's a lady and he's a pretty big guy. So the police have not been involved, but I told her, like, if she wants to get her stuff, she should get the police involved. just for safety reasons.
Okay. Well, can I pray something to
Yeah.
Heavenly
Yeah.
Father? We just
Please.
bind up these spirits of intimidation and threat and bullying and this violence and rage and abuse in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we pray that you would move in this man's life, that the Holy Spirit would fall upon him too. Lord, we're supposed to pray for our enemies. So I pray that you would give this revelation also to Bianca, to Karen, that you're supposed to pray for those who persecute you and those who hate you and do evil to you. So I pray, Lord, that you will work in their hearts to do that, and pray for this man's salvation. And I pray that you guide her as far as going back to get anything left in his apartment. If it's can be replaced, then just forget it. There's just cut it off and move on with your life. And I pray, Lord, that you will guide her steps in all these things, and that she would seek you for wisdom. And Ben has prayed for her, Lord, that you draw her. And I'm in agreement with that, and that you would just move in this situation and turn things around, Lord. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, she needs to break off relationship with him, forget him, and go on with the Lord. Let the Lord pick her suitors. He's already proven that she can't pick them too good. So, yeah, thank you, Lord, for doing that for her.
Amen.
All right, Teresa.
I also pray for Bianca in Jesus' name that whatever deliverance that she needs. So they weren't married, right? Okay, so Lord, she may need deliverance from an open door that let demons in. And so, Lord, I ask Heavenly Father of our Lord Jesus Christ and our Lord Jesus Christ, I ask that you bind, close the open doors, but also bind any demons that may have gotten in from that open door of being unmarried and sexual relations with that from be, in being unmarried, that Lord, that any demons that got in from in her spirit, mind, body, and life, and that she may not even be aware of it at all. And Lord, just take those out. Take every, deliver her completely. I ask Lord Jesus Christ, cover her with your blood atonement, heal her, start healing her spirit, mind, body, and life that your blood atonement gave her. Cover her with your blood atonement, clothe her with your white linen robe of righteousness, and Lord, start reordering her life and protect her from this guy and any unclean spirit or spirits that are transferring from him to her. Protect her from him and them. And Lord, break off any soul ties completely and set her free. But Lord, give her a life too. Your plan for her life. Give her open doors and give her provision. And Lord, you know what she needs. Supply all her needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Cover her with your blood atonement. Heal her, restore her, restore her life. In Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, and Jesus Christ in your holy name. Okay, and also I wanna pray for Terry again because Terry is in a place where, his life has been restored. However, his ex-wife is now texting him, and she is still attacking him emotionally. She's saying he did this, he did that, he did this, he did that, when it was her who did this and who did that and who did this and who did that. It wasn't him, but she attacks him saying this and that, and it's emotional abuse, emotional psychological abuse. And he's being real gentle with her. He's being, whatever she wants, he's with the kids. If she wants on his days, if she wants the kids for Easter, he let her have the kids. And then she texted him back telling him how evil he was, how he ruined their Easter. Like she's constantly abusing him emotionally. And it's hurting him. And he's not retaliating. And so, he's just doing what he needs to do, to she did a fraudulent PFA against him. And so, but he still has to go through the program to get a diversion, to get it off his record so he can get a job. And so, and in the meantime, and she has continued to try to and she's been caught by the police too, the Lawrence Police Department. She's been continually trying to fabricate false charges against him, and the police found her out. And so, and proved, and Terry proved, she's from, that her charges were false. The policemen themselves are seeing it. And so, Terry needs protection, and Terry needs protection from her continual abuse against his mind and against his spirit, and against, his getting back on his feet with his life. So, can you pray,
Yeah, I
Michael?
can pray. Let me ask you a question. Why don't you just block her?
I guess because he's trying to get along with her. So, I'll ask him just to block her. Don't. Actually, what he's doing, he's also logging her abusive texts so he can, the Lawrence Police Department already has police reports on her that they did, on her. And so, and he's logging her abusive texts so he can, so when he needs to, he can confront whatever person, he can confront her. If she tries to do something against him again, he says, I have these, I have logged her texts and she's been abusive. And so, so he's trying, so he visited me today. He had, he does his 600 round mile trip every weekend to see the kids. And, so, but he stops by here on the way back and across Eastern, across Kansas. And so he stops here and we visit, and we talk about things. And so that's what he told me. He's just logging them.
Yeah, Judy.
I just have a couple of questions. Does he need to keep the communications open with her? Is
Concerning the
Deanna?
kids?
Is
Oh,
Deanna because of
concerning.
the kid?
Yeah, actually, he
For the
does.
kids. Yeah, that makes sense. I have another question. Is Terry reading the Bible and is he learning to pray?
Yeah. Yes, he
Okay.
is.
So, okay.
He knows he has to because he
Is
knows
that,
that
it
that's his
affects our
strength.
mind emotions when you do. Okay. Those are just questions I have. Thank you.
Yeah, we can do that. We can pray for him. Well, Lord, you see what's going on in this relationship, which is not much of a relationship. It sounds like a. Why is she mad at him all the time? I have to ask these questions because.
She's just okay. I think I'm not, I have no idea. I just think she's demon possessed. I've dealt with abusive husbands, so I just think she's just abusive. So for no reason. And so, and continually, it's like he straightens his, he completely stops, the alcoholism, is doing what's right. Has always been pretty much gentle with her, and 22 years, and so, their arguments were verbal, It was her who attacked him, you know, physically and abusively, emotionally, psychologically. Just every day he had to put up with this for 22 years while he was supporting her and living at work to support her.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's pray. Father, you see the situation here. We thank you for the authority that you've given us. And in the name of Jesus, right now, I bind up this Jezebel, bitter, angry woman in Jesus' name. And I command those spirits to cease your activity against Terry in Jesus' name. I command it. We all command it. That
Yes.
you cease this activity against Terry in the
Yes,
name of
even in
Jesus.
Jesus' name.
And if you don't, we're going to send you down to see your daddy. You
Yes.
stop this right now in Jesus' name.
In Jesus'
And we
name.
thank you, Father, for peace for Terry. And we thank you, Lord, that this is going to give him an opportunity to pray and to keep praying for his children and her. And we praise you for that, Father, that he would be able to get into the word. Not worry about her texting him all the time. And we praise you for that, Father, that this has already stopped. The angels are there to see about that it is. And we thank you, Father, that she is cleansed of all of this garbage in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. We're going to see an absolute turnaround in this. And Father God, we ask and we pray that you grant repentance to her to bring her into the kingdom as well in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
She's hurting too for some reason. And
Well,
we thank you for it,
it's
Father,
not from
in
Terry
Jesus' name.
because he has treated her well. I know my son, and I know
Well,
their
yeah,
relationship.
I'm not even in I'm it's something else that's bothering
I
her.
mean, Terry treats me well.
Well, Lord help
Yeah.
him.
Well,
Thank you, Lord.
you know, sh her crime, her criminal activity has been so severe against him. You know, she totally robbed him of everything that he worked for his entire life for 22 years. She totally robbed him of everything. And you know, and it was done in a criminal manner with false, you know, with bear not false witness against your neighbor, bearing false witness against him to rob everything he's got. And so, you know, according to what Proverbs says, her life, you know, is in jeopardy until she ch unless she changes.
Well, that's why we pray and we keep believing for her. And she's hurting for some reason, probably in her past somewhere. And so we just keep praying for her and believing that God's going to do a mighty miracle in her life.
She
Yeah, Julie.
needs to be in touch with reality. She's out of touch with reality.
That's what God's business is. Like, he can do it, he can make her turn around in a heartbeat, just like that. Judy, you're muted.
I was waiting until you were done.
Okay, yeah,
Okay.
go ahead.
I want to pray too. Heavenly Father,
Okay.
I thank you, Lord, for Terry and his heart and his long suffering and patience with it's Deanna. Is it Dina? Dina?
Dina.
Dina. A Lord and Dina doesn't know any better. She's bound up in iniquity. She doesn't realize what she's doing is wrong. And I pray that you would give a lot of grace and wisdom to Terry and a heart to pray for her and to intercede for her and that you will do great and mighty things there, Father. And it's a hard place to be, Lord, but he's going through it. It sounds like he's going through it the best he can. And I pray a hedge of protection around him and the kids. And we've already prayed against all the slander and all the hate and everything that's been, you know, spoken against Terry, that the kids may have any kind of wrong idea, trying to separate them and their how they would treat their dad and how they would think of him and feel for him. And so, Father, I just ask that you would show Terry how to pray for her
Yes.
and
Thank
that
you,
you raise
Lord.
him up to be the mighty man of God that he is. And I know that you've heard his mother, Teresa, her prayers for all her children and that you will help Teresa to pray and intercede also. I know she's prayed for her. But just we just pray for an outpouring of your grace upon this woman, Lord, and that you will change her world. that she needs a savior, and that she has been hurt. She's been and she's taking it out on anybody close to her, because that's what those spirits want to do, and they don't know any better. So thank you, Lord, for doing a great and mighty work, more than we can ask or think, and that there's going to be fruit from this. And thank you, Lord, for keeping Terry at peace and at rest and trusting you and just continuing to do what he knows to do and wanting to see his kids, and that there's going to be a move of repentance, Father, in Jesus' name, because you hear the prayers of your children towards the people who cannot pray for themselves and don't know any better. They don't realize that they're wrong and what they're doing is even wrong, because they've had this spirit since childhood, probably, and it's all they know. And they don't know how to love. They don't know how to give love. They don't know how to receive love. And they're just bound, Lord, and they need deliverance. And we ask you, Lord Jesus, to set her free. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise God.
And I'm going to pray one more thing. That in Proverbs it says that the wise woman builds her house, the foolish one tears it down with her own hands. And Dina has torn her house down with her own hands, so which makes her a fool. And so, Lord, out of foolishness. And so, Lord, I ask that you bind that foolishness in her, that nature of being a fool, and loose in her your nature of wisdom. Christ is made to us. Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Give her redemption. Give her sanctification. Give her wisdom, sanctification. Give her redemption. Okay.
Repentance.
Sanctification, redemption. Jesus is made to us sanctification, redemption. Okay, I forgot now that, Lord, that Jesus is made to her your wisdom. So, Lord, give her the mind of Christ. Give her your wisdom. Give her your redemption. Give her your sanctification. In Jesus, in Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, in Jesus Christ, in your holy name.
Amen. And Lord, we're not going to say anything bad about her. We're going to confess the good confession for her from this point on. We thank you, Father, that she is a child of the living God and that she's going to raise those children with their daddy. And we thank you for it, Father, that she's going to make a great turnaround here. We're looking for it. We speak faith
Okay.
right now that she is going to become a mighty woman of God. A submitted woman of God, and we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name.
And give me
Yes.
the faith, God, to believe that in spite of
Amen.
what I see in Jesus' name.
Just remember quantum faith. Confess it, confess it, confess it. Confess the word, and you'll have it. Thank you, Lord. What's what we're going to do? What's her name?
Her name is Dina.
Dina, how you spell that?
DEANA, just Dean with an A.
Oh, okay, Dina. All right. Well, I'm going to put that down. Make it a point to be praying for her. How many kids do they have?
Three.
Three? Lord, we pray for those children too, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that any kind of negative thoughts that the mama or daddy has put in their mind is gone from this point on, that they only have love for their mother and love for their daddy, both the same amount of love, and that's great love. And we praise you and we thank you for that, Father. Lord, we just thank you for giving the children dreams of you, Lord, that they could tell their mama about. And we praise you for that, Father, in Jesus' mighty
In
name.
Jesus' name.
Glory be to God.
Amen.
I'm going to be looking for the miracle. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
All right. Anyone else got a prayer request? I would like to pray. How about a testimony? Jesus is coming. Anybody know that? Jesus is coming. Ask me when. Soon. Soon and very soon. Yeah, he's coming back in his people too. Praise God. All right. Yeah, Barbara.
Hi.
Hey.
I have a question. Just out of curiosity, with the out resurrection coming, what are both the men and the women going to be doing that come back? Like, what do they have? Like, what would their job titles be? I mean, they're not going to resume life as it used to be. I mean, I'm
Why
just
not?
wondering, just curious.
You talking about the people that have gone on and
Yes.
are coming back?
Yes.
They're gonna be doing what the Lord tells them to do. The women are coming back to be wives to their husband, and the husbands are coming back to be husbands to their wives. But they're all gonna have a special anointing to do whatever it is that God wants them to do.
Would
And
any
I'll
of them
tell
be in the
you, the what?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, the main thing is probably to bring in family members and friends and that kind of thing, because you know yourself when somebody comes back and resurrected from a death, people gonna take notice, like they did
Amen.
back 2,000 years ago when they all came up out of the grave. They came up out of the grave and went into Jerusalem. What'd they do there? Well, I expect they heads were turning. And I expect a bunch of them came to Jesus. It doesn't tell us, but I'm sure that's probably what it's about, you know.
Could the men be in the two witness?
I don't know. The two witness.
Would
Well,
you
I
know?
guess it. Go
Well,
ahead.
the reason why I'm asking is, I remember, you know, Bruce used to always tell me that he was going to, or at least he wanted to. To go into these churches and I forget what he's the word he used. Well, I mean, just to minister. I forget how he said it, but he always thought that he would go into these churches and minister to, I guess, God's elect, the ones that, you know, I don't know, but is that possible? I mean, can they do that?
For sure. For sure. This revival, this is going to be a big part of that, I believe.
Yeah,
Big part.
it's gonna be awesome.
Yeah.
Okay,
Yeah.
thanks.
Everybody's going to be working together. And the bride, I'm talking about the bride that's going to be working together. A lot of time. There's going to be some that go out a lot of time, but they'll be right back. Be translated back and forth, back and forth. That's going to be the mode of opera of transportation. Some of the men are going to be out. They're going to be teaching. They're going to be preaching. They're going to be teaching. They're going to be evangelizing. They're going to be all of the works of the ministry. Listen, when the anointing comes, it'll all make sense. Okay? It'll all make sense because the anointing is going to give you the wherewithal to do what it is that he wants you to do. He's going to give you the wisdom. He's going to give you the discernment. He's going to give you the anointing from the Holy Spirit to be filled with the Holy Spirit to lead you and to guide you. You're going to be listening to him. Going to be an awesome time. Going to be populating heaven during these next 7 years. Thank you, Jesus. That's right. Praise God. It's going to be fun too, because you'll know exactly what to do because God is going to talk to you in a way that you're going to be able to listen. I'm just waiting on Jeanette to get back and do all the cooking and all that. Cleaning it, driving me around. Praise God. Anyway, it's going to be a good time. If you're believing for Bruce to come back, then bless God, he's coming back.
Yes, I am. Amen.
Okay. All right, anybody else? That's one thing that if you remember when they went into the wilderness, there was a mighty anointing for them when they went in. And same thing's going to happen to us. You go down into that water. Water of the Holy of the Word come out. You're going to the anointing. David has already taught about this many times about the anointing that's coming for this last move of God, this great last move of God. Remember the story about David talking about the boys going in the water real slow like a turtle. Coming out on the backside like a rabbit. That's the anointing. It's going to be awesome. I'm reading about some of that today, and I've just got so excited thinking about it. God's going to do some things that it's going to help everybody that loves the Lord. Everybody that loves the Lord is going to help them do what it is that God got them to do. You'll know instantly. All right. Anybody got anything they want to talk about tonight? Let's talk about Jesus. One thing that I can't stress enough is what you say with your mouth is what you're going to get. You must continue to confess the word over yourself and your family and over the things that you want that you're waiting on the God to believe in God for. Continually confess it. I do have a song. Y'all want to hear a good song? Missy, I bet she'll like this one. Let's see here. I think everybody will like it. Where's my share thing? Here it is.
Whisper, there's no place here for kind. Still on she came, through the shame that flushed her face, until at last she knelt before his feet. And though she spoke no words, everything she said was was heard as she poured her love for the master from her box of alabaster. And I've come to pour my praise on him like oil from Mary's alabaster vase. Don't be angry if I wash his feet with my tears and I dry them with my hair. You weren't there, the light it found me. You did not feel what I felt when he wrapped his love all around me. And you don't know the cost of the oil in my alabaster vase. I can't forget the way life used to be. I was a prisoner to the sin that had me bound. I spent my days pouring my without measure into a little treasure box I thought I found, until the day when Jesus came to me and healed my soul with the wonder of his touch. So now I'm giving back to him all the praise. Don't be angry if I wash his feet with my tears and dry them with my hair, my head. You are there, the night Jesus found me. You did not feel what I felt when he wrapped his loving arms around me.
That's a good one. I always like that one. Does anybody not like that? Raise your hand real quick.
That's a beautiful song.
Yeah, it is. I love it.
Me too.
Yeah, Missy.
When you said, I know Missy will like this. Right away, I thought of CeCe Winans, and then I thought Alabaster Box.
Thank you, that's Lord. Good. Yeah. When you say it beforehand, it's when it works, not after.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding you, Missy. Saying,
I'm being honest.
Okay. I know you are.
You know, it's been a while since I've actually heard that myself. So thanks for playing that. I love it.
I do too.
Thank you, Lord.
Anybody ever heard me say this never again list. Y'all ever heard me say this again? This never again list. Have you? Okay. What?
You can do it again, but
oh,
never again. Don't say you're never again.
Would you like for me to do it again? Never
don't say
again
you're never
list? Okay.
Never again, Michael. Never, never again.
Second Corinthians 4:13 says, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. Never again will I confess I can't, for I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. Never again will I confess lack, for my God shall supply every need of mine according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:19. Never again will I confess fear, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of discipline. 2 Timothy 1:7. Never again will I confess doubt and lack of faith, for God hath dealt to each man a measure of faith. Romans 12:3. Never again will I confess weakness, for the Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalms 27:1. And the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. Daniel 11:32. Never again will I confess supremacy of Satan over my life, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. 1 John 4:4. Never again will I confess defeat, for God always leads us to triumph in Christ. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Never again will I confess lack of wisdom, for Christ Jesus, who was made for us wisdom from God. 1 Corinthians 1:30. Never again will I confess the domination of sickness over my life, for with his stripes we are healed. Isaiah 53:5. Never again will I confess worries and frustrations, for I am casting all my anxiety upon him, for he cares for me. 1 Peter 5:7. In Christ, I am carefree. Never again will I confess bondage, for Scripture says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Glory to God. 2 Corinthians 3:17. My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And finally, never again will I confess condemnation, for there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:1. I am in Christ, therefore, and I am free from condemnation. Glory be to God. How many of you know that your believing is really dependent upon what you confess? It is. It is. It really is. No quantum faith. Remember what quantum faith is about. All right. Anybody else got something they want to talk about? Listen, y'all want to hear a good poem from one of our members? This is a good poem. This is from Angelica. She wrote this 4/12/2019. So I'm not going to tell her I've read it. Don't y'all say nothing to her, but I'm going to read it because it's good. She says, glory to glory, faith to faith, righteousness revealed, an unveiled face. Body celestial, his glory divine, sun, moon, and the stars, Zion to climb. Servant to son, things that be not, water to wine, fill the pot. Joint heirs indeed progressively run, Follow the pattern, it's already done. Walk in the light on how he shines. Oh, how he shines. His manifested glory is also mine. I think she put that in the chat the other day. That's a good one. I didn't even know she was a poet. She was a poet and I didn't know it. She's a pretty good one too. Y'all like that? Yeah, I thought it was good too. And she's got a lot more over there on the site. I didn't even know we had a poet site over there, but we do. There's a lot of things I don't know about that site again. All right, anybody else? Hey, Josie. Good to have you on tonight, girl. Debbie. See, you got in here too.
Hey, hello, everyone.
Yeah, we can hear you. All right. Anybody got anything they want to share? Buddy, where do we stop on real good news? We still in chapter 4, 5? I don't know. Five. Let's see if I can find it.
I have my book marked on page 63, Healing by Scripture. That's chapter 5. I have a tab at the very on in the book. At the very bottom, the last paragraph where it starts, I had gone through many trials with all five of my children, and God had always been faithful to his word. That's one of his testimonies.
Huh. No, it's not. In Jesus' name, my connection is not unstable. Chapter 5. Healing by Scripture.
In the book, it's page 63, last paragraph at the bottom. In the book.
Well, I'm on PDF, so it's going to be close to that. What's it say?
It says, I had gone through many trials with all five of my children, and God had always been faithful to his word.
Michael, remember you figured
Okay, I
out
got it.
that you needed to actually look? You sure you got it? Because
Do what, Missy?
you
Do
might
what
have
now?
before when we were reading this, we all had a hard time following along, and you figured out that you had to actually get the book and read from the book or itself.
Is it different on the PDF? Okay. I can
Well,
do
from
that.
what you got, it is.
Yeah.
The PDF you were reading from, Michael, was a little bit different than what we had.
Okay. I don't mind.
I think it was one of the earlier versions
Yeah, it could be
of
it.
20, I think 2014 was a version, and then they updated it. I don't know, maybe it's 2019 to the newest version, which matches the book. So you might need to re-download it or something, Michael.
Read down what? I got it. I got it. It's not sometimes. Is that where it is? In the book, where is it, Missy? 63.
Yeah, page 63 at the bottom, last paragraph.
I
What you said.
don't have that one marked, but that's okay. Everybody there? Bottom of 63. Healing by scriptures. Okay. All right. Said I had gone through many trials with all five of my children, and God had always been faithful to his word. We have had to be diligent, to be dogmatically determined not to depart from what the word said, which is, by whose stripes ye were healed. It's not a matter of convincing God to heal us. It's a matter of us believing that he has already done it. And so I was convinced that he always healed. I had cleaned up these questions long ago by a diligent study of the scriptures and by understanding that God had already done this for us. So those problems were already cleared up for this trial with Nathan and many others like him. God is faithful. He is just as diligent to bring the healing as we have read in the Gospel of Matthew, and the other Gospels say the same thing. God was just as diligent to heal those stiff neck Jews as he does for a lot of stiff neck Christians nowadays. We all have our problems, and God is merciful. It's by grace that he gives us this. It's not because we're perfect. We do want to be on the right side of God, so it's good to confess your sins. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. James chapter 5 and verse 16 says, confess therefore your sins one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. It's good to confess your sins and make sure there's no condemnation in your heart and to make sure there's nothing between you and God. The thing about sometimes God heals and sometimes he doesn't is that it becomes a moot point after by whose stripes you were healed. It's a moot point about whether God wants to heal you or doesn't want to heal you, or if he will or if he won't in the future. The fact is, he's already done it. Study the scriptures, and without adding one jot or one tittle, without adding one word or taking away one word, make up your mind that I'm going to believe exactly what the word says. And I'm not going to add to or take away from the word under penalty of a curse. We're told in 1 Peter 4, verse 11, if any man speaketh, speaking as it were oracles of God. In other words, say what the Bible says, and the Bible says you were healed. Think it, speak it, act it. Don't believe that God heals sometimes and sometimes he doesn't. He already healed everybody who belonged to his kingdom at the cross. He already delivered us from every curse. The Bible says in Psalms 119:89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. God ain't going to change his mind. It's in the book. He can't change his mind or he's a liar. And we know that God can't lie. Hebrews 6 and 18, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we may have a strong encouragement who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. Galatians 3 and 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree, that upon the Gentiles might come the blessing of Abraham in Christ Jesus. There's in Christ Jesus again, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So on the one hand, he has taken away the curse, and on the other hand, he has given us the blessing. Do you understand that every time God did not keep his word, he would be sinning twice? He would be lying at least twice, because we have these positive and negative promises. Here's one instance, Hebrews 6 and 13. For when God made promise to Abraham, who has Abraham's blessing now? We do. Since we could swear by none greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. And thus, having patiently endured, he obtained the promise. So we need to patiently endure, holding fast to what the Word of God says, because the devil is going to try to talk us out of it. He does not want us to have a testimony before the people. 16, for men swear by the greater. Notice it says, men swear. We're commanded not to swear, but men swear by the greater. And in every dispute of theirs, the oath is final for confirmation, wherein God, being minded to show more abundantly unto the heirs of the promise. Christ is the heir of the promise. Galatians 3:16, now to Abraham were the promises spoken, and to his seed. He said, not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, unto thy seed, which is Christ. But as we abide in Christ, we are heirs. Ephesians 1 and 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. When you abide in him by faith in his word, you are an heir to the promises and the blessings of Abraham. Hebrews 6 and 17, wherein God, being minded to show more abundantly unto the heirs of the promise the immutability or unchangeableness of what he says in his word, of his counsel interposed with an oath. God can swear and make oaths. We can't. Matthew 3 and 34, but I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by the heaven, for it is the throne of God, nor by the earth, for it is the footstool of his feet, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by the head, for thou canst not make one hair white or black. We don't have the ability to bring to pass anything that we might swear or promise. Only God has that ability. And if he gives us grace too, we will. But if not, we won't. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 17. Wherein God, being minded to show more abundantly unto the heirs of the promise the immutability of his counsel, interposed with an oath, that by two immutable, unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we may have a strong encouragement, who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. In other words, God made a promise to bless Abraham, and to that promise, he added his oath to do so. Has anybody got any questions or any comments? Yeah, Pat.
So I was I'm going back over here. Obviously, the title of this chapter is healing by the scripture. And David obviously is using the scripture in First Peter, is it First Peter 2:24? By his stripes we were healed, ye were healed. And that scripture obviously is taken, it is taken from Isaiah 55:53, and speaking about Christ. And it says in 53 verse 4, it says, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. For he was wounded for our transgressions and was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And David in this chapter is talking about being able to depend upon God to heal every time, and to be solid upon that conviction that God will heal every time. And obviously, he's saying that is based upon the fact that he already it was already done at the cross. But one thing that helped me or helps me is kind of a verse that locks it in, that really, there are some that believe that that when Isaiah was talking about he was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities, and by his stripes we are healed, that is referring to a spiritual, such as forgiveness of sins, and so it does, and they believe that it doesn't really apply to physical healing. And so if you go over to Matthew chapter 8, of course, and this was one of those things that kind of locked it in. And say, starting in chapter 8, verse 14, it says, when Jesus come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laying sick of fever, and he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto him. It was the next verse that I was thinking of. And when even was come, they brought unto him many possessed with demons, and he cast out the spirits with a word, and he healed all that were sick. And then the next verse says that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken through Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our diseases. When he's saying there, in Matthew, he's saying, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, he's referring back to this verse in Isaiah 53. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried away our sorrows, and we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. So Jesus healing all that came to him, all that were sick is was the fulfillment of Isaiah, these verses in Isaiah where he spoke about by his stripes we were healed. And then in 1 Peter 2:24, Peter is saying, and when he was revived, well, it's in 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins in his body upon the tree, that we, having died unto sins, might live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. And so Peter looks at the cross and the beatings that Christ took before the cross and looked back at them and said, by those stripes, we were healed. So to me, I just thought that it's just one more confirmation that, number one, that scripture is referring to physical healing, and that Jesus depended upon that scripture and his purpose to fulfill that scripture in applying it as he healed all that came to him. And so I can, and I guess that's why I understand it a little bit more. It just kind of fleshed it out a little bit more for me, related to this, and our need to be dogmatic and hang on to it and hold on to that faith and keep moving with God in order to pray, clarify, understand, listen to the Lord, and just be casting down doubts and double-mindedness, etc. And that's kind of where I find myself in the battle is I was thinking about this concept. There's the psychiatrists of the day, or the there's a big in the last 20 or 30, 40 years, maybe, there's been an influx of counseling people, counseling Christians with their problems, and psychiatrists and psychologists, etc., that sort of thing. And I have to say that a lot of the things that they say and teach work to a degree, because they function from the realm of soul and the soul's influence upon the body. They are kind of, they're basically soul technicians. And so that puts, and even if you look or read about, or some people have gone through it, the Eastern mysticism, religions tend to teach a type of mind over matter type of control. And many of those things through diligence work as well. I'm going to say they work because they're, but there's much diligence and much perseverance and much training, and you can harness the thoughts and the mind to accomplish things in the body. The problem of it is that it usually doesn't last. And that's why people that go to counseling and psychologists and psychiatrists and everything, they continue, continue and work, work through and have more problems the next time, and they're working through it. And that's because the solutions that God gives us, there's a tendency to want to take those, that lower level solution, I guess you might say, of mind over matter. But God has given us, through His Word, the ability to apply spirit over mind, which then affects the body. Spirit over mind, then the body. And the spirit, through the spiritual level, is the Word of God, and believing the specifics of the Word of God, which may apply or does apply to your particular situation. And that's what we're called to do, because those solutions, the solution of by His stripes, obviously, in order to apply or take advantage of that promise of that truth of the Word of God, you have to be born again, to be able to see that kingdom and to be able to rest in that truth and the Word, and allow it to apply the necessary spiritual pressure in your soul to convince you, and through walking it out and experiencing it, that confirmation of your soul, which it turns that soul to be positive, to be positively receptive of the truth of the Spirit, of that particular word. And that's what sets us free, in my opinion. Obviously, you continue in my word, Jesus said, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And that truth is His word, His spirit, His word, be his words are spirit and truth. And it's those that we lock onto and meditate on and think of those words and apply those words and see how they apply in our life and in our soul. And we take them, and as we use them and walk them out, the release happens. And it's a lasting release. Once you have that release in any particular area, you have it. You don't have to worry about it after that. It's a done deal. You've got it. It ain't going anywhere after that. And so, I don't know. Just I'm kind of rambling now, but I just think that this is the significance and the importance of His Word, and submitting and obeying and applying His Word to our life, because that is the spirit which overrules the mind, and then the benefits automatically flow through to the body. So, anyway, that's all I had to say.
Amen. Thank you, Pat. Go ahead, Julie.
I was thinking how, where is it? Hold on. Hebrews 6:18. God's promises, right? That by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, that we may have strong encouragement who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us, which is, hope is Christ. And that, God wrote it. It was proven over and over and over and over and over and over again through the Gospels. How many times did Jesus heal? Every time. And that we have to know it. We have to know just by these things. It's like, okay, I know it's God's will to that. I know it's His will that I'm healed. And like Kat was saying, it's just coming, overcoming the mind of the flesh. You know, God's not wrong. He's not the one with the problem. We are. You know, we have the one. We have to overcome this. You know, the old thinking and stuff. And even if it doesn't manifest right when we think it should happen, you know, there's that trial of the faith that we have, and that's a work. That's a work. It is personal for me. It's a work that God's doing in me. You know, believing for healing, believing for different things that He's promised. Just like He promises, and I keep reminding myself, God, You promised, and I believe You. And you know, it's just doesn't matter what it feels like. It doesn't matter what manifestation is right now in the natural. It's all temporal. God's using it. God's using it to strengthen my faith is really what happens, because the more you fight against the lies, the more you fight against what you're feeling with the word. For me personally, it's just been my faith has gotten stronger, even though I don't have the physical manifestation yet. I know that my faith is not what it is today that it was before, because of the longevity of some things. You know, you have to keep fighting, and you have, and I'm dying inside, right? I'm dying inside sometimes. It's like, you know, it's no, this is a lie. The physical stuff's a lie, you know, and you just have to push through it, ignore it. And but then there's that perfect work that's being done in that trial of my faith, which is the maturing part, which again goes back to, you know, walking as Christ. He did everything by faith, you know. It's anyhow, it's immutable, two immutable things. God doesn't lie. His oath and His word, you know, the promise, His word. It's just, we just have to overcome this thing up here that gets in the way, you know, the natural thinking of things. It doesn't matter how long it is. Yeah, I wish it was done already, but whatever. I have to go through it, and I'm not giving up. And I have, you know, there's days like everybody else, you got to fight through discouragement. You have to fight through disappointment and lies and deception and unbelief and double-mindedness and even fears, you know. And just all the arsenal that comes against your mind and your body, whatever it is. Okay, it's like, I have to trust You, God, because who else is there? You know, Egypt's destroyed. I'm not going back there. I have no place to go back there to. You know, if I already, you know, where could I go? Anyway, it's just what it means to me, you know, seeing those things. And it's just like, how can you doubt? You know, our spirit man doesn't doubt. You know, he's strong. That's Christ. And that's who's manifesting in us. This is my own thoughts, you know. So like, that's who's manifesting in me is Christ. Because He doesn't doubt. He knows. He knows that God, Father, said it, it's done, it's written. But we have to fight that fight of the, you know, the good fight of the faith, and understanding what that really is when you go through it. And you gotta fight. If you don't fight, you know, you're done for. You're done for. So help us, Lord. Keep fighting. Amen.
Jesus. Lord, help us to keep the shield and the sword up. Amen. Anyone else? Now we have all these promises, plus we have the promise of the blessing of Abraham. Plus we have the promise that Jesus bore the curse, sickness, and so forth. We've looked at all these promises. How many times would God have to lie in each of our instances in order to not keep His word? The problem is not sometimes God heals and sometimes He doesn't. It really comes down to, is God a liar or not? Did He tell the truth when He said He healed every one of us, or did He not tell the truth? So if we change that statement a little bit to Christians sometimes receive healing and sometimes not, you'd have to say, yeah, that's right, that's the truth. But that's not the fault of God, that's our fault. And the Lord Jesus taught us too that this is our problem, not God's. Hebrews 11 and 6, and without faith it is impossible to be well pleasing unto Him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that seek after him. Do you believe that he will reward you and meet your needs? Do you believe that he cannot lie? The problem is responsibility. The statement that sometimes God heals and sometimes he doesn't puts the responsibility on God. But God says he's already healed everyone. He has already delivered us from the curse. He's already fulfilled his responsibility. And we know that this good news is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. So now we have to fulfill our responsibility. And that's the problem. It's not sometimes God heals and sometimes he doesn't. It's actually we sometimes receive healing and sometimes we don't. The truth is, once you make up your mind that God is always faithful, that he always heals, the devil won't get a foothold in you to bring doubt and unbelief to cause you to miss out on the blessing. Jesus made it plain that this responsibility is ours. Do you remember the story of the centurion and what he said to Jesus, Matthew 8 and 5? And when he was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lies in the house, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And he said unto him, I will come and heal him. But the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having under myself soldiers. And I say to this one, go, and he goes. To another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. You know what he was saying? I know you are a man under authority, and whatever you say goes. So you just say the word, and I'll believe it. This is a centurion, Gentile. The truth is, we have the word that has been given to us that this centurion never had. We have words that tell us that this has already been accomplished for all of us at the cross. So he said, only say the word and my servant shall be healed. And now the Lord has said the word, Matthew 8 and 10. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way. As thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And the servant was healed in that hour. Notice that Jesus was saying that the centurion is the one who is setting the parameters of this healing, this deliverance, this blessing. He put the responsibility on the centurion for bringing this miracle to pass. Yeah, Andrew, go ahead.
You know, I was just going to make a comment here. If we can't trust God's word, then how do we know we're going to wake up tomorrow and there's going to be a sky up there? Or all those stars in the heavens? How can we trust that creation is going to continue? How can we trust anything? So in his name shall the Gentiles trust. And I believe that's in Isaiah. So we need to trust in the Lord. And we need to trust in this word that he is our Father, because the Lord taught us the Lord's Prayer too. Very basic and simple, our Father, is the first two words. And Jesus taught us, and he was a son. So what does that make us? You know, when anyone has a child, or some of us were children once too, you know, and we trust in dad and mom to serve us, and they served us the Lord in some capacity. So the evidence is so profound that the Lord exists. There is a people that came from Abraham's loins. They're even still trying to make a country over there somehow. So there's this evidences. You can go even physical evidences of all these things they have found, Ron Wyatt and stuff. You can go and visit the small museum that they have over there in Turkey for the Noah's Ark and stuff. And all these evidences that they found, you can go to Saudi Arabia. They fenced off the place. I think it was a good idea because people would have went in there and destroyed it all, you know? And so you can have that mountain with the black top and stuff. The evidence of Christ is just go around the block a few times and see how many crosses you see in your neighborhood with all the churches. Now that's an evidence that there was someone there. You know, you don't have to drive too far in Canada or America to find a church, even though they might be a little misguided with all these differences they have. Of course, God has to fix that, bringing us all back into unity. And so we have this and all the things that he has done in your life up until now, all the prayers that he's answered, all those things, you know, reflect on those things back too. That could be a good defense for you sometimes when you're being attacked. So, and of course, this is what Michael is reading now of someone's testimony of his defenses of what in the past and sharing them with us. And we believe. So praise and glory to God in all things. Amen. I'm just giving you a comment of a perspective there that sometimes it can help a person just to think this way.
Yep, it will.
Amen.
Thank you, Andrew. Go ahead, Pat.
I was thinking about one point would be, you know, that God doesn't lie, can't lie. But I was thinking that, you know, he would have absolutely no need to lie. Because, I mean, if he could, he would have absolutely no need to lie because he's the one that said it. He's the one that, number one, he can create and do anything. There's, you know, nothing that he can't do. He's all things are possible with him. What could tempt him to even lie? He would have no need to it. It's like, well, whatever. That was just kind of one thought, but I just made, you know, there's an observation here that I thought was kind of interesting is that number one, this centurion, he wasn't a Christian. He had a need. He, his servant was sick and, you know, close to death. And he obviously heard about Jesus, who was, you know, was healing everyone that came to him. And, you know, he wasn't a Christian. He wasn't the chosen group. He was a Gentile. But he blew completely by all of that. And he went to Jesus and asked him, not for his own healing, not for himself. He asked him to heal his servant. And so Jesus automatically got up and was ready to go do it. And And of course, then the story is that he said, "No, you don't have to do that. You just say the word, and my servant will be healed." And that's what Jesus was marveling over, that this person, he came to Jesus and he based that healing upon Jesus's authority to do it. He understood that Jesus had the authority to do this, and so it was irrelevant whether or not he physically went there. He said, "No, you just give the word and he'll be healed." And he demonstrated faith in the authority of Jesus in to heal, to minister that healing. So I just thought it was, it's to me, it's interesting that, he wasn't even a Christian. They say healing is, well, deliverance is the children's bread, and we kind of apply that to healing sometimes, that you have to be a believer. There's nothing that would even indicate that that servant was believing for healing. There was only one that was believing healing there, and that was that centurion. So I just, it was, God obviously operates on faith, and it doesn't necessarily have to be the faith of the one that is sick, but there has to be faith there somewhere. And if it's not faith in the people, in if it wouldn't have been, say, in the centurion asking for there, I mean, Jesus recognized that faith, but it was Jesus's faith that healed all of these that came to him. And I think that was the faith that Jesus was depending upon to minister to these people. And therefore, all that came to him were healed because of Jesus's faith. And so, it is always connected to healing, to faith somewhere. And obviously, Jesus recognized it in the centurion. But again, I look at it in the life of Lazarus. There wasn't anybody there that was believing Lazarus was going to raise. That was totally Jesus's faith in demonstration. So anyway, I just thought this was kind of interesting. Praise the Lord.
Yes, you are. Go ahead, Judith. Thank you, Pat.
What I got more out of that, Pat, was the centurion being a military man, right? He understood the authority part, about commanding something, just, do it. I'm telling you to do this, and in the military, it's like you have to do it. You know that it's done, that it's carried out. That's what I was getting out of that too, is because the Lord has given us authority. That's the same authority that Jesus had, because it's the kingdom of God. That's where his servants were, his, where his army, in a sense, right? So if we command something, it's the same thing, right? We command something done. Well, I know that the angels, the war, it's in the spiritual realm, it's going to be carried out. And there's war in heaven, and the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. It's violent. Anyhow, so yeah, he had faith. He understood what the authority was, and he knew that when Jesus, you just say the word, and I know that it's going to be done. So you don't even have to come here. And that's kind of cool. Anyhow, learning our authority, because I'm not military, but I always had people over me, and whenever they told me to do something, I did it because it was my job. So, and that's like the angels, that's their job. They answer to the voice of, they answer according to the voice of the Lord when we speak the word of God. So that's the other thing that the Lord's just been teaching me about authority. The authority he's given to me, to each and every one of us, is done. You speak the word and it's going to be taken care of. Amen.
Amen. Go ahead, Andrew. I could do that.
Did I disappear there for a while?
Oh yeah, for about a half hour. No,
Oh,
not
okay.
that long. Not that long.
I
Just a few minutes.
prayed about it, and it's a good thing we're discussing this today because my computer, eh? I had my computer fixed by some people, and of course there was this pop-up that always would come on. And it's that pop-up when they want to control your little arrow to do a repair, okay? And that screen would keep coming up every time I turned the computer on. So, and Ben will vouch for me. And anyways, an interesting thing just happened to me. The whole screen went dark, but I kept hearing your voice reading the book. And I had no picture, and I was going, "What is going on here, man?" So I asked the angel to fix my computer again. So I was, and I'm waiting, I'm waiting, I'm waiting. Well, I better turn it off and restart it, So I turned it off, and I'm back now. And that little pop-up screen doesn't appear anymore. So he fixed that
Praise
too.
God.
So got me back on the on YouTube just now. So praise and glory to God,
Amen.
Oh, there's only light in God. There's no darkness at all. But if
Well,
you want to agree with darkness, then you can go over there to 2 Thessalonians and accept that strong delusion if you want to. I don't want it. Anyway, we're going to need some faith for some of the things that I think was discussed. I don't know if it was Friday or Sunday about these aliens. So, David was teaching us not recently, so we have to be ready for that, And he gave us some really good verses there too on how it might apply. So praise and glory to God. So we have to be faithful. We have to trust in the Lord for all that because we can't do this by ourselves. Our angel is there. He's helping us as much as we can, and we know what the last verse of Hebrews chapter 1 says. So he helps us in all the heirs of salvation. He helps, and that's from the ones who've just come to the Lord right now, even. And hopefully the Lord will lead them to that verse and they'll do it. Praise and glory to God. Because that's what the Lord does. He really likes to do that with his new children, his brand, his newbies, So praise God and glory to God.
Yeah, David asked the Lord about the aliens, the UFOs, and all that stuff. The Lord told him that there's only one planet that has life on it, and that's this one. There's no such thing as aliens and demons.
And those guys are aliens to the Commonwealth of Israel.
Yeah, really. Absolutely. That's right. And what's happening is people are getting caught up in that, even in the government. They're getting caught up in these demons, thinking they're extraterrestrial beings, you know. Well, they are, but they're not the good kind. But stay away from them.
I love the way he showed it, how it paralleled this new age religion too. I remember looking for my Bible And I went to the bookstore and I asked him if he had any Bibles. And he went, religious section. I went there and my eyes were like, whoa, this isn't religion, because it was all New Age up here, especially in this capital. And it was very close to Parliament Hill, that bookstore. And I did find a King James Bible, though. I still have it. It's printed on newsprint. So, praise God.
You know, I made the comment this morning that and I've seen this in Operation Disclosure, where they are trying their best to change the Bible, to insert the book of Judas, the book of Enoch, and all of those apostate books that they have out there. I never even heard of the book of Judas until the other day I saw it in there. Yeah, Julie.
This is a question, since you kind of brought this up. You know how they were saying that they had found all of these hidden artifacts and different, you know, written material and books and stuff in the Vatican and those tunnels and domes. What do you think that is, and where do you think it came from? Does anybody really know? Do they share any of what it is?
Came from the enemy. Yeah, because what they found is just stuff that they say that the Vatican didn't write the Bible like it should have been written. You know, just silly stuff like that. When we've got proof, but through numerics, that, you know, it's all good.
Yeah.
What's his name? Proves that. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's there. Way to try to muddy the waters as far as Jesus is concerned. That's the main target, is Jesus.
Deception.
Get rid of him. Yeah, deception.
You know, deception.
Yeah. Go ahead, Pat.
It's interesting that I have a friend that is into UFOs and you know, he goes to the symposiums, and you know, they have them out in Las Vegas and out there around Area 51 and all this sort of thing. And there are a lot of facts. There's a lot of facts that point to the reality, obviously, of UFOs, because the reality of demons are, you know, it's true. And so there are things that happen and that people have seen, and the experiences and this and that and whatever. And they obviously are demonic, but they're saying that there are UFOs or they are aliens and this sort of thing. And it's obviously it's a massive deception. And I pointed out there's, if you get on YouTube or do a little research, you can also find situations where, especially where there were situations where there was like kidnapping, attempts of kidnapping or taking people, you know, there's movies out of an experience that, you know, that people had where a UFO came down and took them up into the machine or the flying saucer or whatever, and performed, you know, experiments on them and whatever, and then let them go after that. And they were absolutely traumatically, you know, rattled and shaken, you know, for the rest of their life type of thing. Those experiences happened. They obviously attributed it to aliens, but they were demonic. And so so there's a reality or a truth or a fact there. It's just the picture, the overall picture they're trying to paint regarding that is a deception. So I brought up to this friend of mine the fact that there are cases, quite a few cases of when these aliens were going to abduct these people, and they called out and rebuked or used the name of Jesus in either one form or another, and that abduction just ceased. It quit, and those things disappeared. And he mentioned, he said, yeah, there's a group of those people in the is in every one of the symposiums, but they don't get a lot of they're not real popular. And because they don't fit the narrative, we'd rather enjoy this whole concept of alien beings and this and that, but when somebody comes up with in the name of Jesus Christ, leave, and they disappear. They don't want to hear anything about that, So I just thought it was kind of funny. But yes, this is, that's the reality that we're coming up against. And I think that this is why I think the Lord in these last days is raising up a people that will be comfortable in functioning in that highest jurisdiction of the Lord's word and in faith in Him, and commanding in the name of Jesus these things, because they're in such right now, the world is going into such a, with AI and all of this sort of computer-based intelligence that's out there, it's you're not going to fight that on the mental level. It's going to have to be overcome in the spirit and in a higher level of authority than what that AI is functioning in. So anyway, I just it's just interesting. It's coming up the pike. Praise the Lord. He greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Amen.
Go ahead, Andrew.
Doesn't it say somewhere in the scriptures that if the dark side is going to step up some stuff, it would stand to reason that the Lord's going to have to step up some stuff on his side too? He may wait a little while to see how the faith gets registered for all of us and the trust in the Lord. But if they're going to show these fallen angels, then perhaps he should show the real angels that have kept their principalities too. So praise and glory to God for that.
What's going to happen is God's people are going to take authority over them, send them where they need to go. That's what's going to happen, and that's going to be pulling people into the kingdom because of it. Amen. I'm looking forward to it. Let me see an alien. David told Trump the other day. He said, "I'll tell you what." He said, "I can show you that those are demons. They're not aliens. They're demons." He said, "Bring one up there. I'll tell you. He won't be there long. I command him to go, and he's got to go." And that's what happens. Praise God for the authority that he's given us over the enemy. Anybody else? I think a lot of people are fascinated by the ufology stuff. And I remember years and years ago, there was a article in Life or Post or one of those news magazines back then of a couple that got abducted by an alien and spent some time with them. Then they were let back out again. And it was all up in one of those big magazine news magazine write-ups. Yeah, Andrew. That's been 40, 50 years ago.
No, I wouldn't be too surprised that this thing they tried over the radio that everyone thought the Martians were coming that time. I don't know what year that was in, but this could have been a test by a very early deep state, maybe. I don't know. I don't want to say any conspiracies or stuff like that. It's just the Lord is, and teaching us what we're supposed to trust in and how we're supposed to trust it. So praise and glory to God. Yeah, so you will know what you've made testimony on such things, Michael, about some of those around your bed at one point in time too.
Yeah, I had twins show up there one night. They had to go. All right, anybody else? What's interesting to me, y'all, is that there are government people that are in high places that are falling for this alien garbage. And the technology that came from it, they say. And the problem is, when you deal with those entities, you're dealing with the enemy. And at some point in time, he's going to take over.
I believe when he was talking about it, David, he said we should pray a delay for this because I don't think it's the right time for that yet.
Okay, anybody else? We're almost out of time. Jesus always had faith, but the centurion had to believe too. Jesus said in Matthew 18 and 19, "Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father who is in heaven." The centurion was definitely exercising his faith, and that's what Jesus always looked for in people before he gave them the benefits of the kingdom. Now, when we look at where he healed multitudes of people, we aren't given any particular instances of that. But when we look at specific instances, we see that first, Jesus always tried to get them to express their faith so that he could give them this wonderful gift. He said, "As thou hast believed, so be it done unto you, unto thee." Or Matthew 9:29. "Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it done unto you." According to your faith, be it done unto you. You see, it's very important what we believe. It's very important that we're agreeing exactly with what the scripture says. You know, fear and doubt are unbelief or beliefs, but they're just negative beliefs. They are a belief that we still have the curse and that we're still under the penalties of our sins. Fear, doubt, and discouragement, all of those are faith. They're just negative faith. Jesus said, "According to your faith, be it done unto you." And that's why doubt and unbelief keep us from receiving. Look at what happened to Jesus in his hometown, Matthew 13 and 58. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. He could not do many mighty works. Why not? Because he knew that the benefits were conditional upon our faith. That's why It's very important that we agree with exactly what the scriptures say. If you want the benefits of God, you have to agree with what the word says and not add to or take away from the words of this book. Or what did he say would happen? Revelation 22 and 18. I testify unto every man that hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto them, God shall add unto him the plagues which are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the tree of life and out of the holy city which are written in this book. Don't change a word, or you're going to be under the curse. I'm going to stop right there. Mark it. Yeah, Andrew.
I got a pretty good word that can tag along with that. It's
okay.
In Second Corinthians 13 and 8. For we, and that's a lot of people, we, you know, he said it to the Corinthians back then, and we should believe it today. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. And we know the truth is Jesus. And there's another good one in 2 Timothy 2 and 9, the very tail end of the verse. The Lord, the word of God is not bound. So Satan cannot bind his word. No one can bind his word. If no one can bind your word, you know, like people can stop my word. People can even perhaps stop someone from speaking the word. I mean, they tried to stop Jesus, but they got in bigger trouble for that. And they tried to stop the Apostle Paul. And we have the word of God, and we have to understand, they have a big fancy name for it, eschatology. So we got to know whose spirit we speak. And we speak the truth. And the truth will set you free. But we don't want to speak nothing against the truth. And with that statement, oh, you know, he'll probably come and try to trick you and say, oh, no, that's not the truth. But, you know, you don't listen to him, man. You know, you recite it. You can recite one word from the word of God, truth, and it's truth. It's in the scriptures. And you can go to SEP, you can recite freedom. And you have freedom. Now you can put the truth will set you free. And you can't speak anything against that truth either. So when you think of truth, there's all these truth words, you know, that you have. And that truth word lives within you. And that's just what I'm. These are two new verses that I found. You know, I'm still trying to relate to them and how they work, you know. But if his word can hit, his word opens a universe. Just open your eyes and let it be done. Let it be done. I don't know. I'm waiting on a lot of things. I have to wait for my computer today. You know, I'm sometimes leery about when I stop waiting for some small things, you know, and go and get it done, because I can get it done. But the Lord moves in mysterious ways, and he wants to explain everything to us. You know, like I remember my vision to take off my Rogers cable. I had a vision, and I asked Michael about it here, and he told me, well, you see, Andrew, you got to get rid of this, because he took the remote right out of my hand, and that was a new cable system. The guy just came in and put it in. So He came and he took the remote out of my hand. I was sitting in this chair and I went, he took my remote, you know, and I was spending too much time. And plus, they gave me some extra channels. There were some good ones there. I still have my TV machine, you know, but it's hooked up to a DVD and a VHS, but all the stuff there is kind of like Christian movies and stuff. And they're real enthusiastic movies. I watched Courageous the other day, and that's and it's very motivational, you know. Oh, I don't think I can watch that movie Fireproof. I don't have that one. They'll put tears to my eyes. But it motivates you really good, and you know, it's, there's still something there, you know. And that's the guy says, you know, Hendrix, I think his name is. Is that's why he made those movies to motivate people in America, especially to get back to this, you know, and it opens something up in these people, you know, like. And he said it was to help the church. And I hope it does. I hope it does work out. Because, you know, I remember one of the war room was mentioned here. That I could just see that woman praying there in that little closet there, you know. And by the way, you know, you're the closet. You can take it wherever you want, you know, because there's an altar you got to carry around. And it's an altar of grace. You can picture a little golden footstool if you want to, covered with gold, made out of cedar. But I know I'm getting bigger, but I don't think I can fit all that inside of me. So, and there is a mercy seat there within you, and there's a lot to say about it. Yeah, from Matthew to Revelation. Praise God. Anyway.
Well, all right, folks, we're out of time. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, it's time to go. Y'all be blessed, yeah.